Sweet. All right, I've got a message today. From Proverbs. Don't preach out of that much. Don't bring many messages, but this is more of a teaching, preaching. Most of all of them are anyway. But I was looking at a message brought in 2015. I know all of you remember that one. And it was like, no, not that. And it wasn't out of Proverbs or any of that. And so it's like, no, God was just saying, no, rewrite it, redo it, and make a whole new approach. So out of Proverbs, chapter helps first. We want to look in Proverbs 4, verse 23 through 27. Powerful stuff. And here it is. You ready? It's the New International Version I'm using this time. He says, above all else, guard your heart. Don't you wish you'd have known that when you were younger? And if you didn't, you know, nobody taught me this passage. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. How powerful that is. Every word we speak, every action we take starts in the heart and the center of the body, the thought, the feelings. And everything flows from it. Whatever you do is going to come from that. If it's a little off, what you say is going to be a little off. If it's way off, what you're going to say and do is way off and so forth. And if it's on, what you say and do is on. But he says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Now, he says, keep your mouth free of perversity and keep corrupt talk far from your lips. How many has failed so far? Okay. Okay. All right. That's most of us. This is tough. Jesus talked about the same thing. Ephesians says, don't let any unwholesome word come out of your mouth. Well, we'll have a message coming. And so I try to kind of give you, I started saying, a little notice, or we'll call it forewarning, of this one. Because we're going to talk more about this unwholesome talk and all that, and where it comes from. And the things that the little boy and the little girl within all of us that keeps tripping us up, they keep us alive, but they trip us up. There's going to be some messages on that, how those places where we were injured as children are what we were taught and so forth. We keep acting out that behavior as adults. And if you're wondering, why do I do the things I do? How come I can't control this? We're going to talk about that in the future. So that one will be coming up, along with the wise as a serpent and innocent as a dove. Those are all on the agenda and being worked out now. But for now, it says, keep your mouth free of perversity and keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Now, that talk and all, that's part of this, but it's not where we're headed today. This next part is where we're going to the main focus. He said, let your eyes look straight ahead. And really listen to this, grasp this. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Well, that's a powerful... You need to read Proverbs. If you're not reading them, read them. I don't want to assume anything, but I hope you are. But read some Proverbs. Read it on a daily basis. There's wisdom in here like this. There's messages like this. And so, you know, let's just take a look at this first point that we have here. And it's places where you get off the path, okay? You know, and that's what we want to look at is the obstacles. And let's look at the places where we just get off the path to start with, and we'll move back into staying on it. But frustration and discouragement are one of the frustration, discouragement, one of the prime areas where I can get off this path. Now listen to me. Every time, everyone, sooner or later, comes to that place where they're literally standing at this, at this junction in the road, this crossroads of life, and you're having to decide. Am I going to obey God here, or am I going to obey me? Am I going to do what God says in His Word, or am I just going to let it rip? Am I going to cuss this person out? I'm going to tell them off. I'm going to do harm over here. I'm going to cheat a little bit on this form or whatever it is. We all will face those times. Am I going to give in to violence? Give in to lust? Going to watch this show I shouldn't watch? Going to turn over to those whatever channels? And you're faced, and we, as a Christian, you can't help but be faced with God's will versus your will, because as a Christian, if you're really, truly, and I know you are, a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, He's given you His Holy Spirit. And His Holy Spirit will convict you every time when you're wanting to do something that's sinful. We still do it, but it's there. There's that little catch. There's that moment, and we know it. And sure enough, after you do it, you know that the Holy Spirit's there, because you really feel rotten then. Sometimes I wish that I would feel as rotten before I do it as I do after. Don't you? If I could feel that bad, I wouldn't be so tempted to do it, but it just doesn't seem, that still small voice doesn't come through as clear as a guilty conscience. So how many times have you stood there at that place in life struggling with what do I do, and you did it, and you gave in, and sooner or later everybody will, and then you're going to hit this first obstacle, frustration, discouragement. You know what causes discouragement a lot of times? It's often caused, listen, from unfulfilled expectations. I expect things from other people that they can't deliver. I want my Christian family, my Christian brothers and sisters, to be perfect. We all do. We don't want them to ever say something and not do it. We don't want a cross word. We don't want them to ever come in kind of cranky and cantankerous when they walk in here to worship. Now, we can do that, but we don't want them doing that. It's okay for me to do it, but not you. And we want our Christian brothers and sisters to always greet us with a cheerful smile and shake our hand or give us a big hug. And we want them to smell good and look good and everything, regardless of how we are. And we want them to have the right words for us. And we want them to read our minds. And we want them to know what's going on inside, even though we won't tell anybody. We want them to know. And by the way, married couples get into this constantly, constantly, constantly. Well, you should have known. If you really loved me, you would have known. How could you not know? And ladies, let me say this to you as lovingly as I can. He doesn't, will not ever really know. You're going to have to tell him. There's things that a man will pick up. There's things he'll discern. But, I mean, you gals have it over on us a lot, because really you have this intuition that God's given you, and this almost this sixth sense. And I'm not knocking any of you guys. Don't think that. I'm not putting you down. We're focused more on practical things. But if you want us to read your mind and know your heart, you're going to be one frustrated, disappointed individual. We don't even know for sure we're able to read our own minds. We're practical, we do. If there's a hole, we fix it. We don't think about any of the ramifications. And by the way, and while I'm on this, this is where I'll use a lady friend. Sometimes I'll be up in Junction or wherever and eating whatever, and people come over and visit and do all this stuff. And someone will be waving at me back there, and I call my name. I don't know who they are. But I'll say, who is that? And they'll say, I'm not sure. I said, can you find out? Sure, I'll go. They come back and they give me their name, where they live, how many children they have. Oh, listen, with guys, we kind of feel like in general, if a man doesn't tell us something, then it's not our business to ask. But not you ladies. You'll come right up, and you know, a guy just won't ask another guy, you know, you ever been married before or something like that? Oh, ladies, you know you'll do it. You walk, hi, is this your first marriage? And so I've learned to use that. You know, but back to this. If you want a guy to, if you expect him to really be able to read your mind, he can't. And truly, can you read his? Now, we develop patterns, and guys develop patterns. We really do. And we're so, we get but predictable. Sometimes we're just kind of like an old dog lying on the porch. You know we're going to be there. And you know we'll gnaw on a bone if you throw it to us. And we just love to be scratched behind our ears. That's just who we are. And we love sympathy and empathy from you. And so where am I going with this? Don't expect too much from either your husband or your wife. Don't expect any more than you're willing to give. I mean, how understanding have you been in things? And so we get discouraged and frustrated and discouraged from unfulfilled expectations. And let me say this one, and this one is harder. Sometimes I get discouraged and frustrated, I think we all do, with unfulfilled expectations from God. We were expecting God to do so and so and such and answer this prayer at this given time, and He didn't do it. He pulled a Lazarus on us. And we don't understand why He died. Whatever that is, your dream, your vision, the person, the thing. You with me? And we're like Martha. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But Jesus had something bigger in mind. And right now, some of you are probably frustrated and discouraged with God because Lazarus, whatever the Lazarus thing is in your life, hasn't been raised yet. But He's on His way. It's just the interim in between while you're waiting for the big thing to happen. And we get so disappointed in God. And something happens to someone and we had such expectations that God would never let this happen. We're feeling it, aren't we? I mean, we know it in our hearts. Christian people don't want to admit this stuff. But it's real. And unfulfilled expectations from God. It says, where do you have faith in God? Yes. We're to believe every word in the Bible because it's true. It's God's word. Yes. But He just doesn't think like we think. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. I'm so far above you. And he said, you just get so focused. And what He's saying is you get focused in this tunnel vision. And you only see life from this one narrow perspective. And I'm Almighty God and I see it from such a broader view. And I might just let your Lazarus pass on so I can perform a bigger miracle through it. So don't give up in the meantime. Don't let your frustration, disappointment take you down in the pits of hell, of depression, or unbelief. I've had so many expectations from people in my life. God, yes, and there's things I have to deal with the Lord. I mean, when I have to go do a funeral and it's someone I really care about or whatever, and I know personally, and I'm thinking, what? Have you ever thought these thoughts? The same thing that I have? God, this was a good person. And I know 24 nasty, no good, sorry, rotten people who wouldn't lift a finger to help you if he's lying in the road dying. And they're still going right on. You ever struggle with that? Why don't you take out the evil ones? Because I have expectations that are not totally biblical all the time. And they're not in line with what the Scripture teaches. They're my own set of principles. I want God to follow my principles, don't you? I want Him to think like me and I want Him to do what I think He ought to do. By the way, that's what gets us in trouble in relationships too. Is when we want people to do what we think they ought to do. But I get frustrated and discouraged from unfulfilled expectations. You know something else? And this for me is happening more. I didn't want it to, but with all this shoulder thing and the pain that comes from it and all, I'm discovering something that I'm trying to, it's not familiar. And that is, I get discouraged, frustrated, and discouraged because of fatigue. This hurt, this pain wears me out. I never realized how much continual chronic pain can make you tired, but it does. And I've had a couple people tell me that it, Tony, I think it, in your case, it makes you cranky too. I have a sister who will keep me up to date on whether I'm happy or not, but you know, she said, you know, since all this has happened, and you know, you're just a little quicker, sharper with your words and quick to jump. And it's like, I believe you're right. And I told her so. I believe you're right. I'm tired. I get fatigued. Sometimes on the way home, I'm so tired that I've had to just pull over. I have to stop and get something in Kerrville. I'm so tired, I just can't even keep driving. And it's like, what is that? Because you hurt, you don't sleep totally as well like you used to. And they bring in a message is a spiritual warfare. I have to pray and rebuke the enemy. I have to fight through this. Well, I always ask you to pray for me. He'll do anything to stop this. And God, thank you that you greater is Jesus in us than he that's in the world. And we're covered in the blood of Jesus. And I ask you to pray the blood of Jesus over me. And I pray it over you. I pray for you a lot. God brings your names to me, and just a mental picture of you, and I'll pray that. Pray, you know, just pray, whatever it is. Sometimes, I don't know what, all the time. I just lift your name up and say, God, in Jesus' name, this whoever it might be of you, it is before me, and I see their face. I don't know what's going on, but you brought it to my mind, and I lift them up, pray the blood of Jesus over them, pray you'll heal them and cast out all this frustration. I do. I pray for you not to be disappointed and discouraged. Has anybody in here ever been just disappointed with life? Okay, thanks. It's true. You're just tired of it. Tired of all the junk. Fatigue and then inner conflict. Does anyone have inner conflict? Okay, thank you. You know the Word of God. You know what He says. But this person hurt me. Or your kids done something, and it's really dug into you, and you're conflicted. You have this inner conflict. I want to get back. I want to say something. I want to do something. Those people don't deserve not to be told off. And yet there's the Holy Spirit convicting you and saying, remember God's word. Remember what Jesus said about this, about that, about that. And he'll take care of it. Vengeance is mine. Thus saith the Lord, I will repay. And so this inner conflict. You ever had a conflict of love? You ever just had a conflict of friendship? You like a person, but you can't like them too much, and you like this. All this stuff, right? You ever have a food conflict? You like something really a lot, and yet you know that it's not good for you? I won't mention any alcohol conflict or anything like that. But we have those things. We have this inner conflict just striving within. Are you addicted to some habit, some way of thinking that you know is really not God's way of doing it? And as an inner conflict, and the Holy Spirit's moving one way, and your flesh and what you've been taught's moving another. You'll get more of this in another message, but on this childhood thing. But for right now, just. And then what about putting too much trust in people rather than God? You ever done that? And didn't mean to, but you put too much trust in people rather than God? Listen, one of the things, of many things, that we're learning with all the governmental upset and everything that we're seeing and the legal stuff and everything in our society, it's people that trusted in their government to take care of them. People that have trusted in our legal system to do the right thing, what's right and just, are now finding themselves completely frustrated and disappointed. Because, and I see one of the things God is working from this is He's teaching us, don't put your trust in anything made by the flesh. And He says that in His word, have no confidence in the flesh, none. Don't even trust yourself. These are the things that lead to frustration, discouragement. And we'll reach that place in life where we just get so down with it, we're going to have to either, it's stop, give up, or give in to God. And those things going on inside of you, all these things I mentioned and many more, God's using it to say, come to me and trust me. Trust my word and nothing else. And God's saying something else to us and we have to hang on to it. Trust me, even when you don't see me doing something, I'm doing it. And that's our hardest trial as far as faith is concerned, as God's people, as Christians. It's believing in God and His Word when we don't see it being fulfilled before our eyes at the moment. It challenges our souls. It challenges our heart. It challenges what we've read in Scripture. And yet God says, I'll never leave you, forsake you. I do hear the prayers of my people. I'm just working in a different way than what you're looking for. Well, let's look at this second point. We'll have it up here, and it's that confusion and despair. Nobody gets confused, do they? Or you ever get confused with God? You ever get confused with people? Go drive on I-10 for a few miles. You ever get confused out there? We get confused when we listen to this. We get confused when we listen to too many opinions. If you need to know God's will, stop asking other people and turn to God. It's right here. You'll find it. And you're saying, I've had people say, I read through Proverbs, or I read Isaiah, I read, you know, Mark, or keep reading. God's probably using a lot of this to get you to read more. But the answer's there. And pray it out. Pray it out. And keep praying it until you get it. God will show you. Don't listen to so many opinions. Listen, if there's something, a decision you need to make, why are you going to other people? Well, I'm going to go talk to my banker. How wise is that? Your banker wants one thing. Your money. Sure, I think you should buy that vehicle. We'll give you a loan with a good interest rate. What do you think they're going to say? They're in it for, it's business. That's not knocking bankers. You going to go talk to your lawyer? Ask your lawyer. They only charge, you know, what, $150 for 5 minutes. Well, it's an exaggeration, but really, who are you going to ask? I mean, sure, there's legal advice we need, and there's bank advice we need, but, you know, we ask too many people when we're talking about the will of God. Why are you asking somebody else? You say, I'm going to go ask my pastor. Many people do. That's okay, but what I'm going to end up doing is saying, what is God saying to you? What is He saying in His Word? I'm not the answer person, but I'm here to help show you where that answer is. That's my job, to say, I know where the answer is. I'm going to point you to it. I'm going to show you where to go with it. We listen to too many opinions, we get confused. I'll tell you where else you're going to get real confused in a hurry: when you try to make sense out of everything in life. You ever ask those questions, why did this happen? How did it happen? Can you not accept it happened? And there's just no human explanation? It just happened. We don't know why. Yesterday, what happened yesterday evening? What, you know, there's so much involved there. You know, a man gets shot at making a speech. You can ask, why did that happen? How did that happen? You'll be asking it from now on, and listen to me. You listen. The only truth in life is God's Word. And you know it, but you need to hear it. Do you think you'll ever get the total truth out of what happened yesterday? Don't count on it. Don't count on it. Are you getting the total truth about anything outside of God out here in this world? Matter of fact, and this is why an eyewitness testimony is not really counted as much in court anymore. If you hadn't been to a trial and watched, they don't give much credibility to an eyewitness account. And part of it is because three or four of us could go out here and stand and watch an incident right here on this little road. God forbid, I hope there's not, but I mean, we could all see it. And I'll be dead gum if there won't be four different accounts of what happened. You know why? We don't mean to, but what we see and feel in life so often is going through filters of past experience, and that's how we interpret what we see. That's why be very careful before you start swearing up and down. It's the truth. I saw it. I heard it. Are you sure? Or did it go through your filter, the filter of what's happened to you in your past, and did you see it through that colored up, messed up filter? And many times we see God through a messed up filter in our life. We were taught how God's supposed to be. Somebody said, God, if you do this, God will do that. If you'll pray this way, God will do it this way. Were any of you taught that? If you follow, if you follow this procedure, God must do this. Really? Where does it say that? But we have a filter, and be aware of it. And you need to ask yourself, is what I heard being interpreted in my mind and my heart the way it was set? You won't be taking offense near as much if you'll ask yourself that when you start to feel, well, I can't believe they said, did they really say it? Did they say it the way you think they said it? Or is your little filter just giving it to you? By the way, how many of you go through life expecting to be offended? We kind of draw what we expect, and you're gonna end up in confusion. We can't control people. We can't control what they say. We can't control what they do. We can't control circumstances, and you're sure not able to control your government. By the way, you really can't control your kids or your grandkids. Well, we wish we could, don't we? It's a continual struggle just to stay in control of ourselves. How many of you feel like you really can control yourself? Or can circumstances or emotions, feelings, and the things people do just push your buttons? And by the way, if you've got any buttons that glow red, the devil knows exactly who to use and what to do to punch them. Have you discovered that already? The only answer to confusion is this: accept the fact that sometimes life just happens. Accept the fact that God and His Word is the only thing you can ever put your confidence in. Accept that life will happen. I've asked God, lost count. I have. The hundreds and hundreds of things I've asked God, why did you allow this? Why did you let this happen? How could this be in your will? And I question, you ever question Him? And you just get so confused. Turn to His Word and accept the fact in life, that life just happens. And God never said we're immune to it. And there's something within our Christian makeup that wants to tell us, and it does, that we're immune to this because we're God's chosen, we're His special people, we're His children, then we're immune to a lot of things that happen out here. I used to think that when I was younger myself, that we're special as God's people that way. And the truth, hard facts of life is we're exposed to everything out there that everybody else is. Sometimes more so because the enemy is involved in using it against us. On this point, and I want to close here pretty quick. Proverbs 3, we'll stay with Proverbs, but we're in chapter 3, and I'll just read this to you, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. How powerful that is. That's it. And you mark that down when you're questioning, when you're confused, when you're frustrated and discouraged. You trust in the Lord no matter what. Whether you see it or don't see it, it's going to be okay. If God says it in His Word, He'll do it. Just not on our timetable. But He'll do it. Let's look at this third point right here. So we come up here with frustration, discouragement, confusion, and despair. And then door number three. The right kind of love. You say, what? That's an obstacle? You ready for this? Here we go. Here we go. 1 John 4 says, this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. You say, so how can love be an obstacle? When you don't know what kind of love to exercise at the moment. What? Was Jesus not loving when He went through the temple outer court area and kicked over all the tables and chairs and made a whip and drove out the money changers? Was that an act of love? It was. It was a love for His Father and His Father's house. And it overrode the people that were buying and selling in that and making a business out of God's house. We call that a tough love. But there's times it has to be. And when He turned and confronted Peter, when Peter was saying, no, you can't go to Jerusalem, do all this stuff. And He said, Peter, get behind me, Satan. That's tough. Was Jesus sinning? Was He being mad? Was He throwing a temper fit? No. And there's times with us, listen, we get hung up on love is this tender, compassionate feeling, and we're supposed to just have that and let our kids run over us, let our grandkids kick us around, let other people stomp on us, and that's not the way it is. If more parents today exercise more tough love, we would have a much better godly bunch of children. There's times you have to draw the line and lay down the law and say, you crawl up there one more time, I'm going to whip your fanny, and do it. Now, I know I just shook up a bunch of people out there, and you're thinking, oh, child abuse. No, you're the child abuser because you don't discipline your kids. You're abusing them when you don't do that. You're turning them into little spoiled brats and monsters. Say, whoa, Tony, okay, I'll calm down. It's the truth. Friends, there's a time you have to look at someone and not out of anger, not having a temper fit, not having a spell, but out of tough love, you have to say to them, I really do love you. I'll stand with you even with what you're doing, but I must tell you, out of love for you, out of Jesus' love for you in my heart, that you know what you're doing, what you're saying, is the disobedience to God's word. And God will hold me accountable if I don't share this with you. I judge you not. That's how you say it. And you say it from the heart. I judge you not. I can't judge you. I can't condemn you. I've been guilty of the same things. But we're all going to have to stand before God. And you need to have Jesus in your heart. I didn't mean to make him cry. I know this is tough. And you've got to stop this path you're on. You're going to become an alcoholic. You're going to become a drug addict. You're going to lose your marriage. You're going to lose your home. And I'm just here to say, man, I've been there, done that. I know others have been there, done that. We'll help you any way we can. We'll pray with you. Or sometimes you have to say to your kids, yeah, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. But you're going to have to get out there and make a life of your own. You can't just keep sponging off of us. That's not godly. Christ did not say stay home and live off of mom and dad. He said get out. Go into all the world. That's what you're supposed to do. Make a home for yourself. And let Jesus Christ live in you and guide you to where He wants you to be, to go and to be. And we say, I don't want to lose my kids. What do you mean? You won't lose your kids. What you're afraid of is you're going to lose them being your buddy. Your kids were never meant, and they're never meant, your grandkids even, never meant to be your buddy. You're a steward over them. Not their buddy. I know it's tough. I know this is hard. I didn't even want to bring this. I started to skip it. I'm tempted sometimes. I wrestle with it. And it's like, no, Tony, don't. My people need to use my love correctly. 90% and 99% of the time, God's love and will be tender, gentle, and yielding, kind, generous, self-sacrifices, and show self-sacrificing, and so ours should be. That's the picture we hold of Jesus. But that other little percentage is when we see Jesus cleaning that temple, rebuking the Pharisees. I mean, He used tough love with them, didn't He? When it came to religion and they were out doing their nasty stuff, He rebuked them. And I already mentioned Peter when he was being stubborn. And there's just times you have to say, I will not tolerate ungodly behavior. Unethical, harmful behavior. And I will not be verbally or physically abused. It ends today. And you, if you're counseling with people, visiting, listening to their story, and they're being abused at home, they're being hit, all this, you're going to have to enforce upon them their sin. But Jesus just Jesus loves you and He loves them. But what did He do with people who did this? Well, how did He confront this kind of thing? And you're going to have tough love. And the rest of the time, we're not required. God doesn't call us to exercise this tough love very often. The rest of the time, you just reach out and you touch people and you hold their hand and you hug them, whatever is appropriate at the time. You cry with them, weep with those that weep, and rejoice with those that rejoice. It's just every now and then there comes that moment when the temple needs to be cleansed, when the Pharisees need to be confronted, when evil can no longer be tolerated. And you stand up in the name and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and confront it. I'm not telling you something that I haven't had to practice. And there have been those few and rare times that I've had to confront it. And I disliked every moment of it. But it had to be done. It had to be done. I want to say to you, and anybody, you take this, and I pray you'll be a companion and you'll help somebody and in hurt and pain. There must be that principle in your life of tough love. You will not abuse me. By the way, there needs to be a principle for some people that's this, and I will not abuse myself any longer. I will not tolerate me abusing me. That means I'm not going to put myself down anymore. I'm not going to accuse myself. And I'm not going to belittle myself to make somebody else feel better. I am God's child, cleansed under the blood of the Lamb. And God says that I'm going to inherit His kingdom along with His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm a chosen person, fearfully and wonderfully made. And I, in love for who I am in Christ, will not tolerate myself abusing me. Now I got to close. Said that a while ago. Okay, I'm closing. There's one more. There's one more. The right path of God's will. And that's the good one. These are all things that can be obstacles. Now, what's the right path of God's will? 1 John 3. This is God's command to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. This is 1 John 3:23. To believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He commanded us. That's His will. Matthew 6:33, you want to see the supreme. This is supreme God's will right here. Number one, this should come before all things in our lives. Seek you first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Everything you need to eat, to drink, to wear, the things we worry about in life, the money you need for it. He said, if you seek my kingdom first, if you put me first, and you go out here and you witness for me and you do what I called you to do and you practice these things you're hearing today and stay away from these obstacles and you follow my will. People all the time are saying, what is God's will for me? Aren't they? You ever ask it yourself? What's God's will? The way to know God's will. Listen, this will carry you through a lot of things. This will get you going. The way to know God's will, first of all, is to quit listening to other people and what their will is for you and surrender your own will to Jesus Christ. Yes, to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. But it's to deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow Him. That means that daily, it's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. And I will take the cross of His word and the covering of His blood, and I will walk out of my house covered with the blood. And I'll go to Ephesians 6 and put on the whole armor of God and walk out of here and live this life as God called me to live it and witness as God called me to witness. That's God's will. I surrender my will not to others, not to what somebody wants me to be, not to what something or somebody's trying to conform me to, but I surrender my will to Jesus Christ and I ask Him, show me, God, anything in my life that is opposing you, that's contrary to you, that is in opposition, that fights you. Show it to me and give me the strength and help me to confess it and repent of it. And I ask you to put it to death and make me the person that you put me here to be. And He'll do it. He'll do it. You seek God's kingdom, you put Him first. God's will is this, to believe in Jesus, live in Jesus, and let Jesus live in you. He'll show you what to do. Christ in me, my hope of glory. My body is the temple of the living God, the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can tell me and show me and lead me to what God's perfect will is. And He'll never do anything else but that. And He'll comfort me and encourage me on the way. I made a note to myself. I'm going to give it to you. This was a lot for me, but it's now I'll give it to you. Right in the midst of this. Because this is such a hang-up with following God's will and knowing His will. Stop trying to make everybody else happy. Only Jesus can do that, and oftentimes they won't let Him do it. Commit your life to pleasing Christ, and those who love Jesus will be very pleased with you. They will. Let God give you your joy back. Do you ever pray this prayer? Lord, restore to me. This is biblical. Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. The joy of it. Let God be the loving, caring source of joy, the happiness and satisfaction for your life. Not other people, not other things. Let God be your love. Let Him be your care. Let Him be your source of joy. Let Him be your happiness and your satisfaction for living. And then through others, God will use others to bring this joy and happiness to you, but don't look for it from other people. Let God give it to you. And quit seeking that which others can't deliver. Only God can. You're where you are today because of choices. Not all of them were God's will. But I'll tell you this as we close. No matter what, no matter what mistakes, no matter what confusion and frustration and despair and all discouragement, all these things, no matter that you've exercised love in the wrong way, today is the day where it begins anew. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This today is the day of salvation. This is to say, the day to bow your head, and let's do that. And you just pray in your heart as you listen to me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give you my body. I give you all the habits and the mess ups and the foul ups. I give you all the confusion and the frustration and the discouragement and disappointment in life. I give you all the wrong uses of love. I give you, Father, that I've been following other people's will to please them rather than please you. I give it all to you and ask your forgiveness. I give my heart to you, Jesus, and ask you to forgive me of my sins and come into my life and be my Savior and Lord. And Lord, I want you to be my Savior, and I want you to be the Lord of my life and the Lord of all these things I'm confessing. And Lord, search me and know me and reveal to me any unclean thing. Search my heart and show me if there's anything in there that's unclean. And God, lead me to confess it and repent of it. Make it clear. I won't get mad at you. I won't be hurt, Lord. I'll just be grateful to you that you're not picking on me, because I ask you to do this. I ask you to reveal to me the uncleanness, and I ask you to bring it out and cover it in the blood of Jesus and cast it all in the depths of the sea. Remove from me as far as the east is from the west. And God, from this one moment on, I want to experience what you said you do. Lord Jesus, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set me free. Thank you. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. God bless you.